Mukova back in 2019 in Prague.
I mean, that's madness.
I mean, it's highlighting what we were saying about how good a front runner she is. And it is madness, though.
She's just an extraordinary player, a phenomenon. And sometimes when players are compiling their stats of greatness, people say, oh, it's boring, oh, winning again, and there's a sameness about it. They perhaps don't get the credit that they're due while it's happening. It's only when people look back, and Chris Evert's a good example of this, you look back and say, God, that was an incredible stat.
Forehand stretch from Goff has opened up the inside out, which is where Świątek goes. She will draw the error, moves to 30. Well, Chris Evert is five boxes down from us in a beautiful pink suit, commentating on the semi-final.
Well, it's wonderful to see Chris Evert here. She's had some health challenges and we're absolutely delighted to see her here.
One all. 30 all. Ace.
And I like Billie Jean King's idea of having a statue of Chris Evert here at Roland Garros. I think that would be a really appropriate way to commemorate the extraordinary stats that she compiled during her career, especially on clay.
Blocked back by Świątek. It's game point for Goff. She goes back behind the command, the fist pump to the box. She keeps her nose in front on serve, early stages of the second set. It's all she can do for now. She's doing it, and she leads 2-1 on serve, 52 minutes played.
Well, it is all she can do, but it's so important that she just keeps herself in this second set. Of course it is, because that's the end of her Roland Garros. And as I said, I think if you go a set and a break down to someone who runs in front as well as Iga Świątek, and who is as ruthless as Iga Świątek, well, then it really is goodbye. Jen says loads of pain au chocolat where I've just been.
Oh, just, I can't believe it. So upset this morning. You expect there to be them. I know it's a first world problem, but you expect there's just this little tray. Empty.
Felicitas says, I'm sorry, I usually try not to get involved in these food discussions, but the notion that pancakes and bacon don't go together because it's sweet and savoury is just nonsense. You should take a day trip from Paris to southern Germany next Monday. We're in the middle of the asparagus season, and the only true way to eat white asparagus is with bacon in a pancake. Absolutely not.
What?
The bacon... the absolutely not was me.
No, I get it with the bacon, but then you put it in a pancake.
The pancake in itself is neutral, not sweet. Here's a picture attached. I'm not going to try and pronounce how that is in German.
Go on, nope. Do it. Go on. Go on.
Absolutely not.
Please. Go on, please.
Go ahead.
You want me to?
Yeah. And I lived in Germany, so... And
it's the Spargel...
Uh-huh.
Pfannkuchen Schnicken.
Bless you.
Świątek with the backhand cross-court. Clips top of the net. The backhand down the line is flat from Goff, and she draws the error cross-court. But no, I'm not putting an asparagus in a pancake. I'm not doing that.
Asparagus is lovely, by the way.
No,
I love asparagus. The sweet savoury thing is me. I'm not saying no one else can have it ever. I'm just saying I don't like it.
Love 15. 1-2. Świątek serves deep. Oh, an overall.
Already taught. Just getting involved there. And Świątek did a little double take. As
Goff saying, well, hang on a second. Why are we not doing it again then? Because already taught saying, well, you didn't get it anywhere near the court in the return, so I'm going to give her the point. We'll see if we can hear something here.
Thank you.
I think we heard that bit, didn't we?
We heard that bit.
Coco Gauff's essential point is that the call came... She heard the call and therefore stopped what she was doing. Stopped her swing. But she's not going to win that argument. She did argue with some vehemence, but politely and certainly within the bounds of the rules. The crowd, as always, like to put their tuppence in when somebody argues their point.
And during that, Iga Świątek was shadow swinging with her back to everything that was going on. Coco Gauff in tears after that exchange. She had to go to the back of the court to wipe the tears away. As she rightly said, this is a Grand Slam semi-final. The off backhand in play from Gauff. Wiping away more tears now, Gauff. She has to reset. As wronged as she feels, as emotional as she is, she must reset as quickly as possible.
We've all had those moments, haven't we, where we're so frustrated. They're not really tears of distress as much as tears of anger and the stress of the situation, I think, just coming out a little bit with Coco Gauff there.
Serve down the tee, 15-30. Świątek, a high, deep forehand. Świątek, a backhand cross court to the backhand. Long! And again, she'll use her sweat around the left wrist just to wipe across her eyes and her cheeks and her chin where the tears have fallen.
If Coco Gauff loses this match, it won't be because of that point or that decision. But it could be because it affected her.
57 minutes on the clock. Good deep serve from Świątek, who places the ball. Didn't move her feet. Just swung from the waist. Missed the court altogether. And now a break point opportunity for Coco Gauff.
The best thing that Coco Gauff can do here is try and channel some of that frustration. Use it to fire herself up, gain a bit of inspiration from it.
Serve down the tee. It's a short ball back in. It's a very deep forehand back. And Świątek will drive this forehand out of the air. A perfectly played clutch point when she needed it to be.
And a pronounced fist pump from Świątek. Bending forward, punching the air.
Juice. 6-2 first set, Iga Świątek. 1-2 on serve, just saved a break point. Coming up to an hour of match play in this first semi-final. Gigi and Ellen are with you, and Stefan. As Gauff steps up to the baseline and hits the forehand through the middle of the court, it's swung cross court off the backhand for Świątek and then spins her forehand cross court. A lofted ball sits up high, brought down backhand cross court for Świątek. It is too good for Gauff, who apologises to the member of the crowd because the ball shot off into the second row. And it is game point.
And he missed the one-handed catch. It was very close to it. It would have been like a slip catch in cricket. Suddenly coming at him.
Missed. Point for two all. That's a big serve. It's a mid-court return and she misses. The backhand just lofts it long.
This could be a moment here for Coco Gauff. Świątek's been, by her very, very high standards, just a little bit patchy in this game.
Serve out wide, spins back, sits up, Gauff scampers and scurries the backhand side. She's now moved to the forehand, but it's long. It is long from Gauff. She looks up to Aurélie Tort, who confirms the call, and another opportunity now for Coco Gauff to get the break in this second set. Coco Gauff still going strong in the doubles with her partner, Katerina Siniaková. Serve down the tee, sort of flat back off forehand from Gauff, who plays a backhand through the middle of the court. The off forehand from Świątek. Świątek, the forehand whipped cross court on the angle from Goff, down the line from Świątek, back up the line. The squash shot cross court from Świątek, down the line from Goff, a lofted high ball that will not find the court. And Coco Gauff roars and screams, letting go of all that frustration because she has broken the serve of Iga Świątek and she leads by 3-1.
And trying to lift, I think, herself and the atmosphere, trying to get this crowd animated and behind her, raising her right hand into the air, lifting her fingers as if to say, come on, come with me on this journey, push me forward. Well, a breakthrough, finally, for Coco Gauff. Must consolidate it, though.
100%.
Must consolidate it.
Serve down the tee. The backhand thunders back. Cross court on the defence from Gauff. And Gauff opens up the forehand and goes cross court to the forehand. Cross court. They play cross court and cross court. Then it's down the line and very deep for Świątek. Hits the off backhand of Świątek with she just pummeling these balls. Great defence from Gauff that finally breaks down with a backhand into the net. And it's love 15.
And again, we see that final shot from Coco Gauff just breaking down. Succumbing to the pressure. And that is not necessarily a reflection on Gauff. It's also a measure of how well Świątek hits the ball, especially on this surface, time and time and time again.
Slightly distracted, the wind picked up, noises around, settles herself, reaches up now and serves. Very deep serve, gets the backhand to the feet and she flips the ball cross court. Gauff, Gauff goes drop shot. Here comes Świątek, who scoops up and slides about the pickup from Gauff. The put away nearly from Świątek. And Gauff did reach it, couldn't control it, and it's love 30.
So frustrating for Coco Gauff. Did a lot of things right in that rally, but midway through, she found herself having hit a drop shot to get Świątek into the net, went to hit a lob and ended up just passing it, almost handing it back to Świątek. And from that moment on, the point was lost.
Serve out wide. Oof, that came back with a little bit of venom. It's blocked back up the line. Coco Gauff steps in with an off backhand winner, absorbing and redirecting the pace of the Świątek ball.
That's what we need to see more of from Coco Gauff. It's a sense that if this game slips away, that could be it.
Down the tee, tried to thunder it back. Świątek looks at the strings on her racket and it's 30 all.
Otherwise, that break of serve, that moment with the crowd, well, that just becomes a consolation and a pretty poor one at that.
30 all from love 30. Nets on the first serve, takes the ball from the shorts on the left-hand side. Świątek on the baseline, plays the forehand. Oh my word, did she crunch that ball? It was right into her wheelhouse. The rotation on the ball, it spun off cross court on the angle for a break back point.
Well, there are times like that where Iga Świątek looks like she has a spring-loaded arm. You hit it, it springs back at you. Such a fast motion.
Her serve is netted down the tee. Second serve is a soft serve and the backhand comes back and through the middle of the court goes Gauff. And Gauff with the forehand, it clips the top of the net and it goes wide. And Świątek gets this match back on serve. The immediate break back from the world number one. So we look up to the scoreboard and it reads 3-2 in favour of Gauff. But We are on serve. First set, Świątek, 6-2.
Almost soul-destroying for Coco Gauff. Now, we know that she's resilient. We know that she will fight. She's a Grand Slam champion. She has pride. She has inner confidence. She knows that all things are possible here. But that was a body blow, you feel, to her chances of getting through this semi-final.
Yeah, you really do. Caroline Minasotis is hoping Coco can pull herself together here. Well, she very much did, because she got the break, but unfortunately just been broken back. This was sent through a few minutes ago. A lot of people weighing in on your dislike of certain foods. It's good, because I normally get grief about food, so I'm quite happy for you just to take this and run with it.
Yes, I would point out my brother is quite a well-known foodie, and when he started his career writing restaurant reviews in Australia, he used to occasionally mention me. He'd take me to restaurants as the ultimate test, and he used to mention me as my fussy sister. So.
Oh, I see.
I am quite selective. I would say that.
You are.
Carolyn Minnesota is very much with me. I'm so with you on the dislike of sweet savoury. Whoever started the bacon on donuts thing ought to be locked up.
I'll let you know what Lady Eleanor has for dinner tonight and how fussy she is.
I've already chosen, because Chris Bowers very thoughtfully sent us the menu.
I've actually already chosen as well, I think. 2-3. Pause from Świątek before she reaches back, rocks on her heels and serves centre of the box. The forehand thunders backwards, redirected, drops over. It's brought Gauff in. And Gauff fires the ball past the outstretching Świątek.
I wavered on the starters, not going to lie, but I was very clear on the main course.
No, I don't think I wavered on either. But I'm a creature of habit. Love 15. 2-3. And we've been there for a few years now. Świątek serves in the middle of the box. It's sliced back and long, and it's 15 all.
And the atmosphere's gone a little flat again here in Court Philippe Chatrier, hasn't it? It lifted. Coco Gauff got that break of serve. And we thought, oh, we're on here. The match is on here. Crowd got behind her. She encouraged them. Like a conductor, waving her hand, just trying to get them to get louder. That just suddenly seems like quite a long time ago. And the ball toss just letting Iga Świątek down. We did see that a few times in earlier matches from the world number one. Struggles sometimes a little bit on the height and the rhythm with the ball toss. And she was doing it even when the roof was closed in the first week, where there was no wind, there were no external factors.
Świątek serves out wide. It is spun back down the line. Gauff scampers and slides to the backhand side, but she's defending. She's at sixes and sevens. Świątek totally in control, finds the open court and takes the point.
If I were Coco Gauff, I'd be somewhat reassured to see Świątek struggling with something. So few signs of weakness. It's almost as if she'd found a flaw and is busily trying to fix that as well. I'm sure it doesn't feel like that to Świątek. I'm sure she comes off court and thinks, well, that needs to be better. I need to do that better. That's not good enough. I need to fix that. I need to work on that.
Oh, they never stop learning.
That's what tennis players are like, perfectionists to their core.
Backhand down the line from Świątek. It's loose and off-balanced from Gauff. Game points for 3-3.
And it's hard to believe in lots of ways that Świątek is still only 23. I heard her interview where she was talking about this match, looking ahead and talking about the improvements that Coco Gauff had made in her game. And she sounded as though she was a veteran player talking about a young rookie.
And she's only just turned 23 during Roland Garros. And a fitting place for her, like her idol Rafa Nadal, to celebrate her birthday. To these scampering ball boys. They are back in position. We've had an hour and 10 minutes of play. Paulini Ondrejeva to come, not before 5 o'clock. And again, having a little trouble with the ball toss. The world number one. Serve out wide. Back to her feet, spins the ball down the line. Shontek gets a mid-court ball, cuts the backhand short. The stretch and the pass from Goff.
Better from Goff. Just a little look to her team, just saying, yep, yep, this is what I need to do. I'm still in this. Remember, we're on serve here. Kind of feels almost as though she's a breakdown because she surrendered the break up that she was, but we're still on serve. There are still opportunities here.
Deep body serve back mid-court from Goff. Goff with the forehand netted. There's the point, the game, 3-3. Looking at the live rankings, so obviously points dropped off because she won this title last year, but just to highlight how far ahead she is, how things stand at the moment with Goff up to number 2, Shontek has 10,475 points. Goff, the closest to her, 7,988. And should Shontek win this and go on to defend her title, Coco Gauff will still have 7,988 and Iga Shontek will have 11,695.
My maths is not good enough to even put into words how daunting that is, but it's a chasm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's astonishing. And really, the only two anywhere near here at the moment are Goff and Sabalenka in the 7,000s in terms of their points. Then it drops down to just under 6,000 for Rybakina, who's had a torrid time, not able to defend India Wells or Rome. And then Vondrousova down at 4,500 points. She really is in a league of her own right now. The Polish player.
Jody from the US says, if Coco wants to ever win this tournament, she has to work on her serve. You say her second serve is a weakness, but honestly, it's her inability to consistently make first serves that puts her in the awful position of having to hit the weak second serve so much. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jody. I think they play into one another. If you miss your first serve and you're not confident in your second serve, you're going to get double faults and you're going to lose points. There are a lot of players. Serena Williams is a great example whose second serves were good enough to make it not matter if she didn't have a great serving day.
4 double faults now for Coco Gauff in this match. She gets the serve down the tee, but then it's loose on the follow-up forehand. And it is love 40. And Gauff, also I think the body language of Gauff, head down, slapping the thigh, I mean she looks fairly distraught out there, fairly void of ideas or even hope.
Yeah, she's been on the back foot pretty much throughout this match. There was a moment there, wasn't there, a moment of hope when she broke serve, but as we said, that's a long time ago now, or at least feels like it.
Forehand cross court, triple break points for Świątek. Hits a heavy, flat forehand. She comes for, she let this ball bounce, Świątek. Hammer it out the sky. The stretch from Gauff. Hammered out the sky again from Świątek. And there is a break to love. And that is a 4-3 with a break lead in the second set for the world number one, who looks for all the world that she's going to equal her longest ever winning run on clay, which was 18 matches, move to 20 straight matches won at Roland Garros, and book her place back in the Roland Garros final on Saturday.
Well, I'm just trying to recall Coco Gauff's results at Wimbledon last year, looking ahead beyond this match. If we assume that Iga Świątek will continue the way she's going and this match is likely to finish fairly shortly. For Coco Gauff, in terms of that number one race, I believe she had a pretty poor...
Well, Gauff lost to the first round.
I was going to say, she had a bad Wimbledon last year.
And then on an absolute tear through the American hardcourt series.
So looking at Wimbledon, there's an opportunity there because she does play well on grass. She has had great results and made a breakthrough really on grass in beating Venus Williams in the first round as just a 15-year-old. So she is a player who likes that surface. I think that's an opportunity for her. I wouldn't be stunned if she, I would say, would almost be certainly one of the contenders for the Wimbledon title. She might well be my pick. So all is not lost here in terms of her year. And this is a semi-final. She knows what it's like to lose in the first round of a Grand Slam. And it is a lot better to lose in the semi-final, as much as this is going to hurt. I think that head-to-head record is going to start to punish her now, because suddenly the muscle memory of losing match after match after match to Iga Świątek, well, that's going to make this job harder and harder with every point.
4-3 with the break. The Presidential Tribune behind world number one. Who serves into the centre of the box, the backhand deep from Goff, and Goff with the backhand down the other wing, the lofted high ball from Świątek. Goff will let it bounce and do the overhead from the back of the court for a winner, straight past Iga Świątek, who did not move a muscle. Just to let you know that these sets of pie have lost Petros and Stefanos in the quarterfinals, but the positive they take to Arevalo and Pavic, but the positive they take is they have now qualified to represent Greece at the Olympics as a pair.
Well, that is a fantastic achievement, isn't it?
So a run just when they needed it, when you think the cutoff is Monday. Miss serve out wide.
But it's hard to find opportunities to play.
Yeah.
Certainly for Petros Tsitsipas.
4-3, love 15. Goff inside the baseline thunders that ball back onto the shoelaces of Świątek, who suddenly got it back. Goff now with another forward, heavy ball, but it's coming back on the defence from Świątek. Goff comes forward, stretches for the ball, but another penetrating ball from the world number one down to the feet of the onrushing American.
Well, Goff not coping well when she's drawn in and has to volley successive volleys, and that is down, I think, as much as anything to the way Świątek is hitting the ball. Could not control the volley there. As Coco Gauff, we know, has qualified for the Olympics. She qualified some months ago. She'll be excited about that. Had to miss the Tokyo Games with COVID. So she will feel that she's got somewhat unfinished business.
Yeah, the four American women are locked in, all barring Pegula recovering from injury. A miss hit from Świątek lands in. Just missing out at the moment is Emma Navarro. Keys is in there. Collins is in there. Goff is in there. Pegula is in there. They are your four who have qualified. And into the net goes Coco Gauff, 30-15. Świątek has been upset in the men's quad singles semi-final. So Sam Schroeder, the second seed of Netherlands, he went through earlier. But Niels Vink, his country in the top seed, has lost to Guy Sasson of Israel, 6-2, 6-3. So an upset in the quad semis. And it'll be Sasson of Israel that will face Schroeder of the Netherlands in the final. So we're piecing together things as we head into finals weekend. We had the first one earlier today, where Roger Vasselin and Laura Sigmund, the mixed doubles champions for 2024. They only got together 2 hours before the cutoff deadline for entries. Forehand down the line from Goff. Goff's forward with a backhand. She doesn't control it. It flies long. Game points for 5-3 for Iga Świątek.
Well, if you think my voice is going to give you nightmares, I shouldn't watch that volley back. Okay, Goff is... may have hit worse shots in her career, but I doubt very many of them. Just got everything wrong. I think it's a sign perhaps that her brain is starting to get a little scrambled by the scoreline, the situation, the opponent. And in the photographer pit, just a little bit of movement, a couple of people moving around.
What are they doing?
Leaving it very late and then walking very slowly out of the photo pit. What? And getting a lot of dirty looks from all the other photographers as a consequence.
Absolutely. Serve out one. What a time to move around. There's the cry from Świątek. She is a game away from being back in the Roland Garros final.
And we should say, the photographer's pit that we're talking about, it's about as courtside as you can get. Literally a row of roses between you and the players, so any movement among those photographers is going to disrupt play. Coco Gauff is finding herself disrupted by a rampant Iga Świątek here. This has, so far at least, played out the way the head-to-head suggested it would, the way Iga Świątek's form this year suggested it would.
Gauff serving to stay in the singles. Missed first serve. Świątek has won their last three meetings, all in straight sets. Is she going to make that four? Looks for all the world like it's going to be so. Goff with the second serve, gets it down the tee and the backhand return and a sliding backhand cross court from Świątek, and a backhand through the middle from Goff, the off forehand from Świątek, and then hits a forehand cross court, another forehand, this one through the middle of the court, and the forehand cross court from Goff, and it's netted from the world number one.
Better from Coco Gauff, going down the middle. It's quite a smart play. Took away Świątek's fantastic movement from her. But finding these successful tactics now is a bit like finding a great restaurant on the day before you go home on your holiday. When you've been eating sandwiches all week.
This is all sounding so familiar. Ooh, net's getting in the way, just adding to the tension.
So close to being a double fault from Coco Gauff, and we've seen a few of those in this match.
Seven to the set. Ooh, hello. Świątek just teed off on that ball.
I was so disgusted with it, she marched off as if she'd had nothing to do with it. Świątek wearing this, what I think is like a tie-dye dress, isn't it? It's blue and orange merged together. It's actually not a dress, it's shorts and a top, but it's a little twin set. White down one side, the merge of colours on the other.
Serve return winner for the world number one, who wants to get the job done. And a confirmation of another score involving a Brit in the girls' doubles quarterfinal. Disappointment for the second seeds, Hannah Klugman and Mimi Xi. They've lost in straight sets to Jones and Paganetti. God, there's another Italian involved, who are the fifth. He's taken over an Australian-Italian combination there. The backhand up the line from Goff. Oof. And a frame shot from Świątek. And a couple of game points for the American.
That was like a foul ball in baseball from Świątek there. Yes, what price are Italian medals in the Olympics here at Roland Garros? Got to think they've got a good chance.
Well, what price titles for this championships, let alone the Olympics? Game points. Down the tee, snap back to the feet, the forehand cross court and deeper from Goff. And she has to hold her ground here and plays the backhand down the line. Thought about stepping in, but she stays just inside the baseline, Goff. Goff going toe-to-toe, Świątek, but she goes long. And the first of the game points has been saved.
And Goff, not for the first time in this match, just finding that she can't cope with that forehand. Forehand nicely grooved. Świątek barely moving there, just hitting forehand after forehand after forehand, each with a little bit more venom on it.
Still got a game point, missed serve down the tee. An hour and 23 if you're just joining us. Iga Świątek 6-2, 5-3. Goff serving 3-5, 40-30. Sun shining down on Philippe Chatrier. A packed Philippe Chatrier, the first of the semi-finals. Backhand cross court deep to the long from Goff, and it's juice. Down in her haunches, struck that backhand.
Coco Gauff just dancing on her toes a little bit, trying to get a little bit of joy and self-belief back. It's been a fairly sobering and miserable experience for her today.
Serve down the tee, backhand to the middle of the court, trying to bring up another game point here. Goff, Goff with the forehand nets. And after an hour and 25 minutes, it is match point for the defending champion to book her place back in the Roland Garros final. Świątek asks Goff to wait. Goff does. Now she's ready. Got to get this first serve. Gets it. Oh, the net. Right, I think everyone's had their say. Serve clips the net again.
Orly Tort did a great job there, didn't she? It reminded me of that bit in Austin Powers, which is bag of shush, bag of shush. Stefan's obviously seen the film.
Serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court. Goff inside. This is match point. Swiatek, a miss hit from Swiatek, flattened out by Goff. Goff with the forehand and cross court deep to the spinny forehand, middle of the court. The off forehand winner from Goff, and the match point is saved.
Well, when she looks back on this match, I don't think it'll be with a smile. I don't think it'll be a happy memory for her, but she should remember moments like that. She's played at times good tennis. Swiatek just coming and chatting to the umpire. They're looking up in this direction. I promise you it isn't us. Whether there are people moving in Swiatek's eye line behind Goff. The end of the
flag.
Court.
The waving of a flag being distracted by. Right. Stop wafting the flag around. Juice. Serve down the tee. Oh, this net's getting involved.
Orly Tort once more with her bag of shush. It's time to the flag.
Game point. Serve out wide, the backhand. Oh, it finds the court, the corner of the court. The raised fist to the skies from Iga Swiatek, who is looking to get the job done here and now. Back to Juice, nearly 8 minutes in this game played in the second set.
I don't think Coco Gauff thought that was going to land in. Rather adds insult to injury here.
Served out, a good serve, but a knifing return. Cross-court winner on the angle from Goff that leaves Swiatek standing. Another point to close out this game.
And that rather makes you wonder what might have been if Goff had, in particular, got that first serve in more often.
First serve is netted out wide. Second serve goes down the tee. Forehand snap back to the feet of Goff. It goes cross-court in the mid-court forehand. Another forehand from Goff going down the line to the backhand that floats and sits up, brought down backhand. Goff thought about coming in, but she steps back and she was kind of in no man's land. She hadn't come forward enough. She hadn't retreated enough, so she overhits the forehand.
Almost all the clouds have receded from over centre court here, over court Philippe Chatrier.
That's good news. Juice. Serve down the tee, snap back to the feet, and the backhand is netted by Goff, and it is match point number two for the world number one and defending champion.
Well, the cloud that remains is a little cloud over Coco Gauff's head. It's coming up on the 1 hour and a half mark, 1 hour and 29 minutes.
First serve netted down the tee.
Those flagpoles sound like they're sending out a telex. Tap, 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 tap.
Doing their match report. Second serve down the tee. It's a soft one. The forehand comes back through the middle of the court. It's match point Swiatek, who will miss wide with the forehand.
Well, I hope they don't send it too soon. His Goff is still in there fighting.
the next semi-final. It's not before 5 o'clock, which is in around 21 minutes. So you're not going to have too long a wait. Well, they bring out Mira Andreeva and Jasmine Paolini. Serve out wide. It's chopped back and it is wide. And Świątek stares up to her box. And it is game point Goff. Down the tee, the forehand snapped back through the middle, forehand placed into the corner, dropped over by Świątek. She knows she's beat, and the game is won. Goff will take heart from holding serve and saving two match points, her box, the entirety of which are on their feet. But very shortly, the defending champion of the world, number one, will be serving for her place in Saturday's final. 5-4 with the break.
Goff just doing what she needs to do, goes point by point, get through that game. That's all she could do. Make Świątek serve for it. Ask the question. Kate has emailed in, says, listening to your commentary while watching the TV on mute from the sunny Algarve. Surprised by the seeming lack of fight in Coco today. Desperate for her to grit her teeth and fight back. It seems like the Coco of a few years ago, not since her US Open win. Do you think she was just too worked up going in? And also, given the tears early, she said, it's an honest emotion, but Kate feeling that Coco Gauff has just seemed to be perhaps a little bit mentally unprepared for this match. I don't think so. I think you have to remember who she's playing and the situation that she's playing in. I don't think she was overawed by playing in a Grand Slam semi-final, because she's done that a few times.
She did look nervous at the start of the match. She was trying to be aggressive.
Sometimes you work out the game plan and you get ready and you prepare and it just doesn't fire for you.
5-4 serving for her place in Sunday's final. Backhand for Świątek. Cross court just shortens it a little bit. And she has 3 points from the win and 3 points from winning her 20th straight match at Roland Garros.
And the tears that we saw earlier when she had a little discussion with Aurélie Tore, I think they were tears of frustration as much as anything. I don't think she was emotionally overwhelmed by playing on court Philippe Chatrier. She is a big match player.
6th Grand Slam semi-final for Iga Świątek, looking for her 5th Grand Slam final, and she is 4-0 when it comes to the championship match. 5-4, 15 love. Serve into the centre of the box and the body, it's a mid-court return, and then a rare unforced error from Iga Świątek, lofting the forehand long when she'd got Goff going the wrong way.
Little moment of weakness there. There haven't been many of those for Goff to cling to.
Serve out wide, hooked back deep. You heard the cry, Aurélie Tore, because of the point it's at, will scamper across the court. Just bring some clarity and confirmation. And there we go. Goff sees the finger pointed skywards. And Iga Świątek is 2 points from the win. First serve into the net, looking to go down the tee to try and get an error off the Goff forehand. Hour and 34 on the match clock. Sun still shining down on Philippe Chatrier. Semi-final day. Your semi-final tomorrow afternoon will be Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. And then not before 5:30. So that was not before 2:30. Not before 5:30. Casper Ruud against Sasha Zverev. Iga Świątek couldn't capitalize on the two match points on the Coco Gauff serve. Now has two on her own to get back into the Roland Garros final. 5-4, 40-15. Świątek winds herself up into the second serve at match point. Out wide she goes. Forehand thunders to the feet and she gets a short ball golf to work with. She goes backhand cross court. Cross court the backhand goes Świątek. Squash shot from Świątek. It will land long. That's another match point saved.
Goff just turning to her team, clenching the fist. She hasn't given up the fight.
Fourth match point for Iga Świątek, the world number one. The second in the service game. Apologise, it's not happy the ball toss as a pigeon flies over the court, casting a shadow on the clay. Świątek serves too deep. Cuts that ball away to the ball boy because she has another ball tucked inside the short to the left-hand side that she will use. Trying to get it done. Fourth match point. Serve down the centre. The forehand through the middle of the court. Goff with her forehand crunches it long. And the arms are aloft from the world number one, Iga Świątek. It's taken her an hour and 37 minutes. A straight set, 6-2, 6-4 win. The only set she's dropped was to Naomi Osaka, where she was match point down. Since then, she has been ruthless. And she is back in the Roland Garros final. She has 20 matches unbeaten here. Her longest unbeaten run on clay is equaled with 18. She is the two-time defending champion. And she's through to her fifth Grand Slam finalist, Coco Gauff. Takes the applause from the crowd. She'll have to reset and go again in the doubles. Still very much fighting on in that with Katerina Siniakova. But the task was a tough one. The task was too much. And Iga Świątek is back in the Roland Garros final.
But not a surprising result given the head-to-head. Not a surprising result given how good Iga Świątek is this year. She's in her moment, isn't she? She's in her pomp right now. And particularly here at Roland Garros. Phenomenal stats and another incredibly impressive performance from the world number one. Perhaps a day to forget for Coco Gauff. Didn't serve quite well enough, didn't string enough good points together, but that's very easy to say. Much harder to deliver on when you're playing someone of Świątek's confidence, Świątek's ability, Świątek's attacking prowess. Goff will have many other moments in the sun.
And, it's really not a good matchup, though, is it?
It's not a good matchup, but that matchups can change. Coco Gauff is still emerging. I wonder if she might consider doing something radical with her serve like Sabalenka did. But right now, we're going to hear from Iga Świątek. She's going to be talking to Mats Wilander.
Merci beaucoup. Iga, congratulations. You're into yet another Roland Garros finals. It was very excited after you won that match. How does it feel?
Yeah, for sure it was intense. In the second set, kind of tight because we were breaking each other. But I'm happy that I just, you know, was consistent with my tactics and didn't overthink stuff and just went for it at the end.
Coco Gauff obviously is younger than you. You played her in a couple of years ago in the finals. A few words on what you think of Coco's progress as a player.
Well, I think she is progressing a lot, you know. You can see by her results, you know, last year's US Open for sure showed that she's tough. And yeah, well, I think at this age, you know, it's kind of obvious that she's going to just grow. So it's nice to see her, you know, handling well everything around her. And yeah, because it's not easy. So I'm sure we're going to have plenty more, you know, really intense matches on the highest level because Coco is, you know, also one of the consistent players out there. So yeah.
Wish you good luck for sure. It seems Naomi Osaka in the second round, she had a match point and you were maybe tired afterwards, but something changed after that or not? Because you've only lost 14 games in four matches.
Well, yeah, I don't know if...
Yeah.
for sure, you know, something changed. I would say I just adjusted better to the court, and you know, it's not easy to play these first matches on a Grand Slam because the atmosphere is much different. Sorry, I'm hearing myself. Because the atmosphere is much different on other tournaments, and against Naomi, for sure, I didn't have time to kind of get into it. She just was intense from the beginning and put pressure on me. So I'm happy that I handled it well. And after that, you know, the weather changed also, so it helps my game, I feel, and I just gained confidence, I would say.
You definitely did. Definitely did. So you have a day off before your finals. Do you have certain things that you have done in the 3 years when you won Roland Garros? You do the same thing on Friday?
No. You know, for the first years, we played here during COVID, so there wasn't much to do. We were in quarantine. I mean, not quarantine, but we were kind of, you know, staying in the hotel, not really going out. But now I'm trying to mix it up a little, because how long can you stay in, you know, the same routine? So, yeah, I'm doing, you know, a little bit more like socializing. And but overall, still, you know, I'm that kind of player that likes to stay in the bubble. So I want to balance it well. But for sure, I can adapt a little bit. Sorry, add a little bit more of that because it's easier for me to like turn on and off in terms of the focus and, you know, thinking about tennis.
Well, you turned it on today. Iga, thank you very much. Congratulations. Allez faire pour la finale. Iga Swiatek.
Fourth Roland Garros final in 5 years. She's a three-time titleist here. She's now 11-1 against Coco Gauff. She has just turned 23. Wow, I think is all you can say about Iga Swiatek. She knows what she has to do. She goes out and she executes. And whatever went on in her mind during that match against Naomi Osaka has made her stronger and tougher and more resilient than ever.
Yes, I mean, she may only be 23, but she is a player for the ages. And what we're seeing now is a player who, as I said, she's in her pomp. And she has that feeling, that aura of unbeatability. But Naomi Osaka showed that you can break through that aura. There are ways to rattle her. There are ways to beat her. Swiatek will now leave the court and go and complete her media interviews at the side of the court. She's going to talk to French TV first. I'm sure Polish TV will want to talk to her. I'm sure everybody will want to talk to her. That's what happens when you're world number one.
And in terms of the crowd, they've only got officially 7 minutes till the next match is due on, but as you mentioned, Swiatek is doing her interview, so they'll continue to clear the court, and then eventually she will leave the court, and they're going to turn around, they're going to bring the players out. So the build-up to that, you're going to be enjoying that match. Eleanor, thank you for now. I look forward to your company at dinner this evening.
Thank you.
Next in, Simon and Marcus, and building up to the final, not going to miss a ball of it, but we're going to hear from both Jasmine Paolini and Mira Andreeva, and we're also going to remind you with highlights of how they both made it through to the semi-finals.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Moment in this match. Rybakina serves. Long. Ball boy catches it one-handed. Leans back against the fence. Rybakina, second serve. Ooh, right onto the service line with the second serve. She's reaching for the ball on the backhand. Slightly off balance. Better balance for the forehand, but it goes long. And Jasmine Paolini leads 5-4 with a break, and she will be serving for this match in a place in the semis.
Well, hasn't been in that position yet. It's almost there, but this is a big one right here for the Italian. Huge, huge effort. The mentality, because it's, you know, after the second set, I think when she had opportunity to maybe get close to that finish line, and all of a sudden, very quickly went to a settle. You would think mentally how affected she was, but none of that. She is just going at it and believing and so positive out there.
And all of a sudden, Rybakina made four errors in that game. Looked like she'd got a game together, but two backhands in the net, a forehand in the net, and a forehand long.
Yeah, and the serve just not really potent in this game at all. I mean, from one game where she holds that love with two aces, she goes into serving in this one with doing absolutely nothing to bother Paolini.
Well, a great stat just popped up on our screen before this match. Rybakina had won 78% of her service games. Here it's 50%.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big difference. And you've got to give a lot of credit to Paolini for the way she's returned, the way she's played. And she has got herself into position where she is serving for the win, for a place in the semi-finals at Roland Garros for the first time. Paolini serves. This is the first serve. Rybakina knows she can break, but can she do it now? Second serve. Really short. Wow. Well, it wasn't short, but it was just slow and actually landed right inside the service box. And the forehand is a little bit tight from Paolini, but she gets let off because Rybakina overhits the forehand.
I mean, and we're not talking about just being slightly out. We're talking about 1.5 meters behind the baseline on that forehand that she just hit. Again, you know, you really have to wonder if, you know, the tightness of a racket is just, I mean, it's not enough for her to control.
15 love. The let on the first serve.
In other words, she needs a tighter racket.
She takes the ball back from the return. Gets ready to go again. Serve to the body of Rybakina, who gets great depth on her backhand this time, and the forehand goes long from Paolini.
Yeah, that was pretty much as long as Rybakina's forehand, but at least she had to be pushed behind the baseline with the attack of Rybakina, much more aggressive. Wow.
Yeah, she was under pressure on that forehand.
Oh,
Wasn't trying to hit a winner or anything.
She's
just
under
trying to
pressure,
get it back.
Period.
15-all. Serve to the backhand of Rybakina, who plays it straight down the middle of the court. Paolini just slightly mishitting the forehand. Backhand to backhand they go. Backhand cross court from Paolini has Rybakina on the stretch, and her backhand actually hits the umpire.
Yep, she was so late on that ball that she actually caught and was trying to go down the line, cut it so late that she straight at the chair umpire.
Quick apology from Rybakina, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is it's 30-15. Paolini, she's 2 points from victory. Quickly into position for her serve. Just kicks it to the backhand of Rybakina, goes up the line with a good return. Forehand from Rybakina as Paolini looks to attack on her own forehand. It's fairly short, though, and she has to move back into the court. Forehand cross court for a winner.
I mean, that was very, very little room as far as an angle, because that ball hit by Paolini was down the middle, and you saw Rybakina able to find a really unbelievable angle. I think that ball landed on the line again. Oh, the margin for her is just so little.
Yeah, it was inside in, that forehand. It's 30-all. Still 2 points from victory. Good first serve. Better return from Rybakina, pushing her back. And then the backhand goes to the backhand corner. Paolini's there, though, and she's back in position as she hooks a forehand down the middle of the court. Goes cross court this time to the Italian. Big forehand from Rybakina, cross court. Forehand, good depth from Paolini. Oh, it's a miss hit from back. Rybakina, it's gone long. Paolini circles the mark. There's no doubt about it. And it's match point, Paolini.
Going to her towel. Get ready to play the biggest point of a career right here, Paolini.
Never been to a Grand Slam semi-final. Never been to a quarter-final before today. Here she stands, match point against Elena Rybakina. Serves down the tee. Forehand return straight to the backhand from Rybakina. She goes after the backhand. It's going to go long! And Jasmine Paolini has done it. She's beaten Elena Rybakina 6-2, 4-6, 6-4, and she's through to the semi-finals of a Grand Slam for the first time.
Yeah, today was the perfect day, I think, singles and doubles, and the singles was a really tough match. I'm happy I managed to come back in the third set because, you know, it was tough after the second set. But, yeah, I'm really happy with my performance, and I'm also happy for the doubles, of course.
Jasmine, congrats. Yeah,